Welcome to the Naughty Child Podcast with me, Richard.
And me, Polly.
I'm the dad.
And I'm the daughter.
Getting called out in the middle of the night to go carve a cow, to do a cesarean.
It's the closest thing to farming you can do in the middle of Bristol.
And then mum put on YouTube and then now it's there for the world to see, so it's great.
England were very chirpy.
And I think I only cried like 4 times, but they just happened to get all 4 times on camera, okay?
Locked myself in a procedure room.
Whether it shows something about me or whether it just shows I'm a little bit stupid.
I love people and I love cricket.
Suddenly I'm out on a helicopter because I can go on a glacier.
It's been the longest year ever, hasn't it?
My dog is now called Jimmy Anderson.
So I learned the anthem because I really genuinely thought they would make us sing it.
Polly, I hear you've been playing cricket.
I have been playing cricket after, I think it's 550 days since I last played an outdoor game of cricket. I took part in the Content Creators Cup and we didn't win. It's all good though. We were the Content Creators 11 in our yellow outfits. And you know what? It was some of the best few days. It was so, so good. The weather, you actually couldn't have asked for better cricket weather, particularly in the evening. You know that kind of, you sat at the cricket club as the sun's setting and you just hear the sound of like the cricket ball on bat. Oh, it was beautiful. But it was really fun. Saw a lot of friends at the pod, Regina, Tina Goff, Georgie Heath, so many people. It was a really, really well-organised event by the Cricket Casuals and Aiden. So shout out to all of them because they did a really good job. And JT, who plays at Woodall Spa and so helped organise that. So yeah, it was at Woodall Spa Cricket Club in Lincolnshire, which is the middle of nowhere. So beautiful. We're in an Airbnb and you just went on this straight road for 10 minutes and you got to the cricket club. And when I say straight road, it was a road and either side, it was just like there was a ditch and a field. There was just absolutely nothing. And so you're just driving, you'd see like hares running through the field and deer.
Any tortoises?
No. There were ducks though, ducks and chickens.
The tortoises would be just ahead of the hares, you see.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it was absolutely brilliant. I batted and bowled. Don't need to go look at my figures. I did score six from 22. But do you know what? I'm pretty sure that was the third or fourth highest score of our innings. And I was batting number 9 with a bit of a top order collapse, which, you know, it happens to some of the best teams out there, England. So
it's the taking part that counts. It sounds like you had a lot of fun.
And, it was a lot of fun.
Those are just brilliant days, aren't they? When you can hang out with friends and make new friends and play cricket and be in the sunshine. And
No, it was absolutely fantastic. Now, we spoke about me, but we need to speak about you because we didn't mention it last week. But on Sunday, you ran the Birmingham Half Marathon.
Yes. 2 hours 32, which is a PW.
A sign of age, isn't it?
A personal worst, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, because every year you do it, you're a year older than you when you previously did it. And so you get to a certain age and that counts against you a little bit. But it was really hot, actually. And that made it a little bit tricky. So I was pleased. Yeah, nice to do. Chalk's another one off. Got the Manchester Marathon in April 2025. So training for that begins now.
Yeah, well, do you know what? It gives me a target to chase in the Manchester Half in October. So, because, yeah, I don't really know what time I'm going to get. I did a 13K the other day, which was hard. But it's one of those that you get past the first 3-4K and then it's fine. It's just the initial kind of, it's quite daunting at the start because you're like, oh, I've got so far to go. But yeah, we're both runners now. So
that's good. And then you've got quite a big weekend ahead, haven't you?
I've honestly got one of the most exciting weekends of my life and I can't quite believe it.
Edgbaston on Saturday?
Yeah, so we've got Edgbaston for the England T20 against Pakistan. Then Sunday, I'm at Wembley in the press box for the first time. And then Monday, I'm going to Buckingham Palace.
And Tuesday?
Tuesday, day job.
Coming to work at my school?
Coming to work at your school.
Are you talking about me, Dad?
Which, you know, some may say it's a downgrade. I mean,
Buckingham Palace one day,
to Birmingham School, you know, I think that's an upgrade in my opinion. So can't wait. But yeah, not. I mean, there'll be the international series going on, which is very, very exciting because already the first round, well, first block of Rachel Hayer Flint games has wrapped up.
Yes, yes. So everyone's played 5 games, and it's been amazing. There've been 8 centuries so far. I think there were 13 centuries in the whole competition last year. So immediately you see, a raise in standards, and the round of games that we just had on Wednesday, just amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, what we've seen so far is that, you know, we've had maybe one game in 4 has been a close game, and then others have been, you know, fairly walkovers. So I was at Edgbaston a couple of weeks ago to see a very close game, which Northern Diamonds won by 1 run. But then on Wednesday, all 4 games were close games, including the amazing chase by Central Sparks to chase down 285. And amazing batting. Well, first of all, Emma Lamb got a century, but no one's talking about that because Eve Jones, 136 not out, and just one of the great innings. Now, we saw Eve Jones get her last century at New Road against Thunder in a game which Sparks went on to lose. Well, this time they won, and it was all down to Eve Jones. What a fantastic performance. What a little tap on the shoulder there for the England selection people, because that was absolutely amazing. It was high class, high quality innings.
Yeah, I didn't get to see much of the games yesterday because I was playing cricket. But I saw the Sparks score. I'm trying to think how many overs were left. They were well into the second innings, but I remember saying, I was like, oh, Sparks probably won't do this then. And then I looked at my phone and I was like, what? I was who on earth has got runs? Because
I was the same. Because I have to, at my school, I have to leave by 5:45. And so I was kind of getting on some work and listening to the commentary, and it was coming up to the final over. So I had to leave at that point and stop listening to it, but just assumed. And this is with, this was halfway through the penultimate over, and it's like, well, that's it. They're not. There's no way Sparks are going to get this now. And so went home at that point, and then checked my phone 2 hours later. I was flabbergasted. I had to go back and watch on YouTube to see how on earth did they do that. But yeah, it was amazing. I mean, Beth Nellis ramped to 4, and then the next ball, which was the final ball of the penultimate over, she got an outside edge, and it just went where first slip would have been and went all the way down for 4. So suddenly she hit 8, and then start the next over, Kate Cross came on to Eve Jones, and she hit the first 2 balls for 4. And significantly, actually, Thunder were behind time, and so they had to bring a fielder in. So for that final over, they couldn't have their full number of fielders on the boundary. And so Eve hit the first 2 for 4, then hit a single, and then Bethan Ellis hit the winning runs.
That is incredible. I'm gonna rewatch that later because
yeah. That
is fantastic. Yeah, and Sparks really needed that win because looking at the table, they've actually played 6 games each, and it's on paper it's a lot closer than it has been in previous years. So the top 4, Sunrisers, top of the table, yeah, of course. Love to see it. Got Sunrisers, Southeast Stars, Southern Vipers, and Northern Diamonds. They've all won 4 games and lost 2. And then the bottom 4, Thunderstorm, Sparks and the Blaze, have 1-2 and lost 4. I mean, the points is a different story because of like the bonus point. Mm-hmm. But that top 4 is so close. There are 2 points in it between the Sunrisers in first and Northern Diamonds at 4th. And then Thunderstorm and Sparks are all on 9 and the Blaze are on 8. So the Blaze haven't had the best start, but it's still very close. And obviously they'll play the Charlotte Edwards Cup next, and that will all be contained within one block. But it just sets up really nicely because that is very exciting.
Yeah, I think we need to mention Sunrisers, of course, top of the table. And they beat Vipers again. They beat them twice last year. And now they beat them again. And, you know, absolutely fantastic turnaround. They've won 8 of the last 10 games in the Rachel Hayward-Flint Trophy. You know, they are the form team. Absolutely brilliant. You know, it was a low-scoring game. But Sunrisers, yeah, they managed to chase down 211 and won by 3 wickets.
Incredible. It is things we really do love to see. Because, you know, big Sunrisers fans, not so much the Vipers. But anyway, let's chat about international cricket. Because this time last week, we were talking about the World Cup qualifiers and we didn't quite know who all the semi-finalists were going to be. And it ended up being Scotland against Ireland, which is one that we expected to happen. And do you know what? I'm so gutted for Ireland. But seeing the reaction from Scotland, from like the players to, you know, people on social media, it's been absolutely brilliant.
I mean, we really wanted both teams to win and that was never going to happen, was it? And I'm gutted for Ireland, absolutely gutted. Scotland performed really, really well. And, you know, and I've heard the observation made that Scotland have a slight advantage being an associate nation and being located where they are, that their players can benefit from being part of the regions in England, whereas Irish players cannot benefit from that unless they come in as an overseas signing. Now, Orla Prendergast did that last year, did very well for Western Storm. But it's a bit of a rarity for Irish players to do that. Whereas, you know, a good number of the Scottish team, probably 6 of them, play regularly in regional cricket in England. And inevitably, that's having a very, very positive effect on their performance.
It's such a good point, because as much as it's great that Ireland have professional contracts, a lot of the quality of your cricket comes from the domestic structure. And if you don't have that, I mean, I know Ireland have got their Super Series and things like that, but if you want that consistent, you know, week in, week out, training, games, all that sort of thing, and that's what you get with the regions, that makes a massive difference. I also have noticed that Scotland do tap in to, I don't know how you describe it, like the
diaspora.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think Ireland have really done that. And I reckon Ireland...
In fact, it's worked the other way for Ireland, hasn't it? So Kim Garth, for example, has been recruited by another country, been gone to Australia. Whereas Scotland have got Saskia Hawley, for example, from Australia and brought her in, and have others, you know, with English-based players with Scottish parentage who play for Scotland.
Yeah, and I think, I know obviously a lot of people have very mixed opinions about that sort of thing, but I've noticed Scotland have done that, and I think that plays their advantage a little bit, because again, it comes back to the domestic structure. A lot of their younger players as well, who are in the Scotland setup, I know with same with the under-19s, they're all in regional academies. They're playing regular cricket where the setup is, there's a lot more funding and things like that, so that naturally helps. But yeah, it's a real shame for Ireland. But I think Scotland going to their first World Cup, Catherine Bryce was absolutely fantastic. She scored 35 and took 4 for her figures were amazing. And then to be out there with her sister in the middle to hit the winning runs, her and Sarah, I just thought that it's the perfect way, because particularly for them to, like, they'll be waiting for this moment for so long. Obviously, the whole of the Scotland team were hoping for this to qualify for their first World Cup. And then I don't know if you've seen the video of them singing Flower of Scotland.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, and there was a beautiful post-match interview with Catherine and Sarah. It was just like 3-4 minutes long of just them sitting down and chatting about what it means to them. And it was so lovely to watch, because it's just like, that's why I love things like the qualification for the World Cup, because, you know, for these teams, they won't go on and win the World Cup, but like to be a part of an international tournament where it's just like, it's so much bigger than the qualifiers and all that sort of thing. Oh, it's amazing. It's really, really good.
Yeah. And the Bryce sisters are just brilliant, aren't they? They're really good. I think Blaze can't wait for them to get back and start rescuing their season for them. So that's been absolutely lovely to see. Hey, another thing I need to mention, Paul, is that I've been really, really busy working a second job for the last week or so, packaging consultant, packaging up dozens and dozens of sticker albums to send around the country as the orders have been flooding in.
It's been so cool, actually. I had to make a little spreadsheet and everything with people's names, addresses, where, like, if it's been sent or packaged. It's quite quite a process. But, yeah, our souvenir albums are available to buy. We mentioned last week, we're not making profit. We just want people to be able to have them. And, of course, it costs us to produce them. But, yeah, you can go and get yourself a copy. All the links are on our social media. And it's been so cool to see people receiving them. I've had a couple of messages as well from people that have bought them, being like, it's arrived. Thank you so much. I'm like, that's so cool. I haven't even seen one yet. I haven't got my hands. I mean, tomorrow I will when I come back. But I'm so desperate to see it because everyone's been going on about them. And I'm like, yeah, but I made it and I haven't even seen it yet. It's doing my head in.
They are really cool. And yeah, and there are still some left. So please get on and order yours sooner rather than later because we don't want to see people disappointed. So the link is actually a buy me a coffee link. And I think it comes up in US dollars, but
it's in dollars. It's really annoying.
Yeah, but it's like £4.35 and it's like our production costs. And actually, more expensive than the production cost is the postage cost. And the Royal Mail are coming to our house to collect from our house. I didn't know that was a thing. And then this has opened my eyes to a whole world where you don't even need to go to a post office or a post box anymore. You can just pay online and the postie will knock on your door and say, yeah, I'll take stuff for you and sends it wherever it needs to go in the country.
Incredible. So yeah, get yourself a copy because you'll see someone at the cricket with them and then you'll be like, oh, wish I got one. So get in there early. We have got a guest this week. We are joined by Abby Norgrove, who was part of the England under-19 team to go to Sri Lanka for the Tri Series. So it was really cool to get her insight because we had Katie Jones on a couple of weeks ago. And so to hear from another under-19, to hear her perspective down at the Southern Vipers. In fact, they don't live too far away from each other. And we had this conversation, but they play for completely different regions, but probably are close. Regionally, geographically, could play for Warwickshire when there's the restructure if they still want to stay where they are.
Yeah, they're both in the Cotswolds, which are absolutely beautiful part of the country, but one's in Oxfordshire, one's in Gloucestershire. So the Oxfordshire feeds into the Vipers region and Gloucestershire feeds into the Western Storm region. But Abby Norgrove, what a great prospect she is. And she just finished playing for Oxfordshire. She like run in from the match to her house and was still wearing a kit when we did the interview. But it was really interesting to hear her views of being a Southern Viper.
So firstly, what's your cricket story and how did you first get into cricket?
So my local club, really. My brother, older brothers, always played cricket. Quite a sporty family. So just spending time when I was younger at the local cricket club, really, and just being always around it just got me inspired to play it, really. But yeah.
So give us a shout out. What's the name of your local cricket club?
Shipton under Wychwood.
I love the Cotswolds. So Boughton on the water, Moreton in the marsh, Shipton under Wychwood.
Yeah.
Absolutely fabulous. Yeah, in fact, it's funny the way the boundaries lie, isn't it? Because we spoke to Katie Jones a couple of weeks ago, and of course she's in the Cotswolds as well, but she's in Gloucestershire in Dumbleton, which is not too far away from you, but that makes her a Western Storm player rather than a Southern Viper.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy how close we are.
And of course, both of you are much closer to Birmingham and to Edgbaston than you are to either of the places where you play regional cricket.
Literally, and it's quite a significant drive difference, but yeah.
Yeah, so maybe with the reorganisation next year, then you can relocate to Brum and be close to us up here.
maybe.
I can recommend Birmingham as a place to live. It's a wonderful part of the world, despite what everyone says.
Heard good things.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, Edgbaston is lovely. If you're going to, you know, be based at a cricket ground in England, then Edgbaston is definitely up there.
Yeah, what a ground. I agree with that.
So you play for your local club. How does that turn into playing then for Oxfordshire and then, you know, the Vipers?
So basically, my brother played county cricket. So yeah, I've always been on the sideline. And I think one of the coaches basically said, like, if she likes to throw a ball and can play straight, then get her in, basically. So yeah, that's how it's all started. And started at the age of like 8, I'd say, in county cricket with under 11s. And then has just slowly worked my way up to under 18s and women's. And that's really where the Vipers got starting and then got into the academy. And yeah, from there, really.
Wow. Are you also still at school whilst doing all this as well?
Yeah, I'm just about to do my A-levels in 2 weeks. So, yeah.
So what are you doing playing for Oxfordshire today? You should be revising.
I know. I've had a full weekend revising, in fairness, but a little break.
When you say a full weekend, I mean, what do you mean by that? A couple of hours on Saturday, a couple of hours on Sunday.
Yeah, I had to go and watch my brother on Sunday.
It's fair enough. I did A-levels last year. And to be fair, I did work really hard in probably about the 2 weeks until my exams. Before that, yeah. It was relaxing. So, and do you know what? Last minute, it works. So yeah, go with it. So tell us a little bit about being in the Vipers Academy. And I guess you had a bit of a crossover when you're in the academy with that senior side to kind of prepare you for that step up. What is that whole process like?
So the Vipers Academy has been great. Like the staff are there, like really, like it's quite well connected with like the seniors. So we have like I suppose like friends of like people you can go to the senior team who like, and then it just all like overlaps, which is quite nice. So everyone knows each other. So it makes that step up from like academy to senior cricket a lot easier because you're already familiar with the environment. So I found that very useful. But again, like the first team is so welcoming and it's just like very inclusive, which is great really to make that big step up.
Well, talking of that big step up, last year at the age of just 17, you got the call to come and play for the Vipers first team. Tell us about what it felt like getting that call.
Well, I think it was the day I passed my driving test. I'd literally just passed my driving test and the next minute I was getting a phone call from Charlotte Edwards saying, yeah, you're going to make your first team debut. It was like, what is going on today? It was, yeah, a very fun day, very good day, yeah.
Whoa. And yeah, so tell us about that debut then. Who was it against and how did you do?
Who was it against? That's actually a very good question. My mind's gone blank.
Was it Sunrisers?
Yes, it was. Sunrisers at Chelmsford. Yeah, you know more than me. Yes, it was at Chelmsford. Yeah, it was I opened the batting and I can't lie, I've never felt so nervous in my life, but it was good to get the first game done.
And did you have the whole cap ceremony thing as well before the game?
Yes, we did. That was very emotional, I can't lie, because Beth Morgan, one of our talent pathway managers, like coaches, she presented my hat and I've been working with Beth since I joined the academy. So it was a very special moment. Yeah.
That's brilliant. And one thing we do want to touch on as well is obviously Vipers are serial winners, annoyingly. They win a lot of stuff. Don't leave the trophies for anyone else. And I guess the source of that has been Charlotte Edwards. What's it like working with her as a coach? I guess, of course, she has a fantastic playing career, but then has gone on to be such a successful coach, you know. I guess, yeah, what's it like to work with someone who's so good?
She's absolutely great. Like, the knowledge that comes from her is insane. Like, she's, especially batting-wise, like, it's quite useful to have her there. That she's done, been so successful. But she's just strives for the best, is so competitive, but also, like, does it in a good way. And she just manages the team so well and, like, a very good leader to look up to, for sure, yeah.
Yes, this is often... This is a conundrum we've kept coming to on the pod over the last 3 years, really, is that how can someone be so successful and yet be so liked? Because those two things, they don't often go together. And I guess being a coach involves, you know, having a lot of difficult conversations a lot of the time. So what do you think you're going to sum up her the way that or your relationship with her and the way that she deals with you, how would you sum it up?
I think it's very true, like very honest. Like, I love that from a coach, when honesty is like the best policy. I think that's the best way to go about it. And she'll tell you like where you are and be very honest with what she thinks. I think that's great, but she also does it in the right way, and just very like bubbly character that gets on with most people and everyone. And just, yeah, again, great leader to look up to, I think, for the whole group. Yeah.
And we have to talk about under 19 England stuff, because that tri series was absolutely fantastic against Sri Lanka and Australia. Of course, England do tend to have, they've got quite a good record against Australia under 19. Think about the under 19 World Cup. What was that like? I mean, from the training to actually going to Sri Lanka and being there and the games?
It was just like, even the training, like building up to it, it was just surreal. Like when we got told who was going to Sri Lanka, like genuinely, it was like 3 weeks before, I think. I just couldn't believe it. And then when we were out there actually playing, it was actually like one of the best moments of my life. Like the group was just amazing. We all got on so well. And again, yeah, to win games out there, especially in the heat, was great. But yeah, an absolutely amazing experience.
Did you take any schoolwork with you?
I did. I think I calculated an hour of schoolwork was done, and that's at a push.
You did an hour in the whole 3 weeks?
Yeah, I'd say so. It was one training where I had a little bit of time, and someone hinted at me, maybe you should give it a go, and I did, and got a bit distracted.
That's more than I expected. I expected you might have taken books but not got them out at all. So to have done an hour, I think that's over and beyond and above. That's good. Yeah. So of course, when you were in Sri Lanka, it wasn't just cricket there as well. You got to sort of have some fun and see the country as well. Tell us a little bit about what Sri Lanka's like.
It was absolutely amazing country. I'd love to go back and explore more. Like, Goul was one of the nicest places I've been. Like, it was actually such different culture, which was great, because it's my first time out of Europe, actually. So that culture difference was just like crazy. And obviously the food there is just, I love a curry, so that was great. But yeah, and Hambantota was quite rural, but we got to go on like safaris and stuff, and again, like seeing elephants in their natural habitat was amazing. And yeah, really enjoyed the outside of cricket bit as well. Yeah.
And the other players on that tour as well, was it the case that you kind of knew quite a lot of them quite well before you went there? Or did you actually get to know and make some new friends through being part of that?
Like through the camps, like we got to know each other a little bit more. But again, I wouldn't say that I knew everyone, but after the tour, we gelled so much. I've made very good friends, but they're all scattered across the country now. But no, I have to say we got on really well as a group, very well.
Well, I mean, it's exciting because a couple of you could potentially reunite at the start of next year with the under-19 World Cup happening. I presume that's something that you've got your eyes set on.
Yeah, it's a long way away, like a whole summer to go yet and a winter. But that is the aim, one of my goals. I think it'll be another amazing experience. So something that I'm going to strive for, hopefully. But yeah.
Excellent. And of course, you're doing your A-levels at the moment. So is the plan to take a gap year after that and see what happens, or are you applying for university, or what's the
I'm still undecided. I think it's going to be on results day that I'm going to decide, but I've applied to go to uni to do sports science, so just see on the day really, but it's going to be one of the two. Yeah,
I think education is really important, really good
in the bag lecture.
No, I agree. I'm probably, again, more striving to go to uni because I'd love to have that experience. But yeah, we'll see.
Well, Polly can fill you in on the university experience.
It can be great. It can be horrific. But no, I say, to be fair, I think like if I hadn't gone to uni, I think I'd get a bit of FOMO from all my friends that had gone to uni, because like it is a lot of fun. And it also is really good because you are an adult, but like, you don't have all the responsibilities of being an adult. It's like a nice halfway house. So
yeah.
I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I think the FOMO is what's going to get me, because obviously I'd come home and all my friends would be at uni. So I think I'm probably going to go to uni, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, FOMO is an interesting thing to talk about for someone who goes to Sri Lanka for 3 weeks in the middle of their A-levels and is potentially going to become one of the top sports stars of her generation. I think it's more likely your friends will have FOMO about you rather than you for them. But I suppose that's how FOMO works, isn't it?
We
imagine other people's lives are so much better than ours ever could be.
Yeah, probably wrong use of word.
And this season, tell us about some of your goals and ambitions.
Well, as an opening bat, just like score runs again. Like, I'd love to have a really good season with the bat. Hopefully creep into the senior side again and prove myself up there as well in the senior game. Yeah, hopefully get a few runs under my belt. And yeah, that's probably, yeah, the main aim.
Do you see yourself, do you think you're stronger at the 50 over or the 20 over?
I'd definitely say probably 50 over, but I think my T20 game is definitely becoming more adaptable and like as my game, like especially going out to Sri Lanka, working with all the batting coaches out there, it was great to develop like my way of going about T20 cricket, which I think I've fully developed and excited to use for this season.
Yeah, it's interesting because, of course, you played both formats when you were over there in Sri Lanka, and England did very well in the T20, but struggled in the 50 over. Did it feel like you just kind of ran out of steam a little bit on the tour right at the end?
Yeah, I think we went quite hard at the T20s. Like, I think we were all very set on what, like, our plans and stuff for T20 cricket. But I think in the 50 over, yeah, especially with the heat, I think we did struggle in the heat a little bit. Fielding for 3.5 hours was quite a long time. But I think it's still, like, something we can develop is our, like, 50 over game, like, how we go about it.
We just want to wish you every best wish for this season. And I hope you get to play a stack load of games and score a load of runs. We're going to be watching out very carefully for your scores. And,
thank you.
Yeah, and also your A-levels. I hope they go really well. What's the date? The first one must be really close now.
Yeah, first one's, wait, I've got it here. The 16th.
Okay, week on Thursday.
Yeah.
It's ages yet. Just
I've got these.
Play a few more games for Oxfordshire and then go and watch your brother play some games, and then maybe around the 14th get your books out.
Yeah, take that on board. No, thank you very much for having me. Sure.
So that was great to hear from Abby. And Polly, you've got your big weekend ahead.
I have got my big weekend. So, yeah, it'll be juggling about a million plates for the next week or so. It's funny because when I finished uni and I thought, suddenly I've got all this stuff to do. But no, it'll be really good. So kind of keep following that because that'll be cool.
We'll post up some pictures on social media of you at the palace.
Yeah, you were probably. The king. Do you know the king will not be there. It's Prince Edward, I believe. And I don't want to say this too loudly. They released the guest list. Never heard of any of them. Last year they got Jill Scott. I was like, where's she this year? So I was hoping like Ben Stokes would turn up and do like an inspirational talk. But no, there's a lot of people I've never heard of. So I'm going to do a bit of Google and find who I think the most interesting is and then go to that talk. So, yeah.
Sounds great. Yeah, and this is, we better explain this. Duke of Edinburgh Gold Award.
Yeah, great. To be fair, one of the only reasons I did Gold Duke of Edinburgh is because I knew there was like a little ceremony and I thought that would be fun.
Anyone who's listened to the pod for a while will know all about your exploits in missing a World Cup final, sleeping in the snow.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I forgot we did the pod when that. Yeah. Oh, do you know what? It was worth it. You've just taken me back. What a time. In the meantime, we will be back next week, hopefully, after the busy week. But in the meantime, you can follow us on our social media. So our Instagram and TikTok is Naughty Child Podcast and our Twitter is OO Child Podcast. You can find the souvenir album on there. Go get yourself a copy. It's probably a similar price to like an England match day programme. So yeah, it's not too bad.
Cheaper.
Yeah, probably cheaper than that. Yeah, I don't know how much they cost. And we'll be back next week.